today I get to teach y'all hopefully a thing or two about the nativity scene. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started. God, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for allowing us to gather to worship you. I pray that as we go on today, we realize that it's not about us. It's not anything we can do, but you doing things through us, Lord. We thank you in your precious name. Amen. And so I know last week was crazy with Christmas extravaganza, and so I'm going to catch us up to where we are in the series, The Scene. And so 2 weeks ago, Cooper came up here, and he summarized the Old Testament, and he showed us the need for a Savior and how the Old Testament points towards Jesus Christ. And then last week, after we carried a stack of 8 boxes around like crazy people and shot off a Christmas bird in a tree, we talked about Jesus himself. And so this week, I get the opportunity to talk about some people that were around the nativity scene, around the birth of Jesus. And hopefully, by the end of today, we will have and we will know 2 things. And the first is that these people around the scene at the time were just like me and you. They were regular people who were fallen and broken and had to make a choice about their faithfulness to God. And the second thing that I want us to know is that we all in this room have an opportunity ahead of us. We all have this giant opportunity to be a part of what God is doing around us. We have an opportunity to be a part of what God is doing around us. And so before I really dive in, I want to watch this video that I think does a pretty good job of illustrating what some of us do with this opportunity.
We're all so busy walking around with our eyes down, staring at our phones, that sometimes we miss the best moments in life. Case in point, this guy texting on a boat off California while a huge whale surfaces just feet away. The guy who took the photo says the man never once looked up from his phone. He never saw an amazing sight. See, so listen to that, all of us who have our noses like this. Yep. Beauty and life majesty is all around. Yes. We're missing it.
There's a whale right there. Look, look, look.
And
pain hits fast.
All right, so we can see from that video, that guy had an opportunity right in front of his face, an opportunity to be a part of something bigger, but he had his head in his phone. He was missing out because he was distracted. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. And so in a second, we're going to turn to Luke 2. But while we're turning there, I'm going to give us some context to this passage. And so the first thing is that by this point, we've already seen an angel appear to Mary and appear to Joseph. And so we know and they know that it is Jesus Christ who is going to be born from Mary. And the second thing is that at the beginning of this passage, it talks about a census. And so if you don't know what a census is, it's ironic because it actually happened this year in the United States. But all it is a fancy word for the counting of people in a certain area. And so this was happening at this time. And so at Luke 2, 1 through 14 says this: "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the town of, in the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with the child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the God of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. In the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah and the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace with those on whom his favor rests." And so I know a lot of us here, as evidenced in the games, know a lot about the nativity scene. We know this story. We've probably heard it 13 times, and I understand that. But when I was preparing for this message, I was actually surprised by something I didn't know. And that is, if we search all of the Gospels, if we go through the whole Bible and look in it, there is no mention of an innkeeper. And this surprised me because I grew up hearing about the innkeeper year after year after year, but there's no mention of him. And so with that, the first person we're going to talk about is the innkeeper, which you may be wondering, if there is not an innkeeper in the Bible, how are we going to talk about him? But that's the point I want to uncover, is that we know from this passage that there could have been an innkeeper. In verse 7, it says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there is no place for them in the inn." And so there could have been an innkeeper. At this time, we know because of the census that people were flooding back to Bethlehem to register. And so Bethlehem at this time had a ton of people. Bethlehem was like the place to be, basically. And all the inns were packed because of that. And when I imagine this situation, I imagine all the innkeepers in the town running around, stressed out of their mind, trying to accommodate for their guests, trying to make the sheets or whatever you did, make the breakfast, trying to get that 5-star Yelp review. Probably not, but Yelp probably didn't exist, but that's okay. And so this place was busy, and the innkeeper was stressed. And these things that I just talked about, him running around trying to accommodate guests, trying to be stressed, or being stressed, and trying to make breakfast or whatever it was, those things aren't bad. But they caused him to miss an opportunity to be a part of what God was doing around him. Because the reality is, we know that what if the innkeeper said, "Come on in, Mary. Come on in, Joseph. We have a room for you. We'll make a room for you. We'll figure it out." Then maybe today, the nativity scene, the game that we just played, maybe an answer would have been the innkeeper. He could have been a part of this story, but he was distracted. He missed out on what God was doing around him. And I know that this season, this can be us. And I know this because sometimes when I describe my own family around Christmas, I use those same words, stressed out of their mind, running around trying to accommodate for our family, making the food last minute, getting all the gifts. It's all part of the season. But if we're not careful, then we can miss out on what God is doing around us. And maybe that's not you. Maybe you're not the person who's running around trying to accommodate guests, but maybe you're the person who sees those people around you and withdraws. And you go, and I know this is true of me, to go play YouTube, to go watch YouTube, play Xbox, watch Netflix, whatever it is. And you're also missing the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing around us. Even more true beyond Christmas. It's not just relevant to Christmas season. It's even next semester. We can be so busy doing homework, trying to make good grades in school, trying to be the best at the sport that we're in. And all these things causes us sometimes to miss out on what God is doing. And God, and I want to make this clear, he doesn't need us to do what he's going to do. Because we know that despite the innkeeper saying, "No, we don't have a spot for you," Jesus was still born. God is going to do what he does without you or me. But he loves us. He is sovereign and good. And he gives us the opportunity and the privilege to sometimes be a part of what he's doing. And so in a second, we're going to turn to Matthew 1. And Matthew 1 is the story in a little bit more detail of Joseph. And Joseph is someone who had this opportunity and he took advantage of it. And so Matthew 1, 18 through 25 says, "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus. And so here we see Joseph at first considering different things, and then eventually an angel comes to him and he holds true to what the angel tells him to do. And I think it's easy for us today to read this text and just take it for what it is and walk away being like, all right, cool, Joseph did what the angel said. Of course he did. Why wouldn't he? But if you put yourself in this story, think about it. Joseph was facing a heavy decision. It was not light. It wasn't something easy for him. Because think about this. He was engaged to Mary, and then Mary became pregnant. And we know now that it was Jesus, and it was from the Holy Spirit. But at the time, no one else knew that. And he could have claimed it, but who was going to believe him? And so he was here facing a decision where if he stuck with Mary, one, it was considered scandalous, but he was going to lose friends. His family was going to question his judgment. He was going to have to face persecution. He's now the person who people were talking about behind his back. And Joseph doesn't want that. We don't want that. But Joseph had a long view. He was able to keep what was important in the front of his mind. And that way he could hold faithful to what God wanted him to do. And here's the reality. Us in this room have the same decision. We can hold true to what we know as truth. We can hold fast to God, be faithful to God, serve others, and have life in Christ. But that might come with some persecution. It might come with losing friends, being the person who's talked about behind our back. But it is worth it. And Joseph, we see, had to make an intentional choice. It wasn't something that Joseph easily just made. He didn't leave the next morning and was like, all right, it's all good. I'll just do whatever's the easiest decision next. No, it was intentional. Joseph had to intentionally make this decision and intentionally, day after day, find himself faithful to God. And here's what I want us to know is that being a follower of Christ may not always be easy, but it will be worth it. It will be worth it. And Joseph, we see, I can guarantee you, if we went back and asked Joseph, hey, I know you had to lose friends. I know you were the person who was being talked about behind his back. Would you do it again? He absolutely would say yes. And it wouldn't even be close because it's always worth it. And so God tells us this in John 10, 9 through 10. And it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So we see here, through this persecution, we have abundant life in Christ. We have abundant life in Christ. The second thing I want to encourage us through is that while it may be difficult at times, and while we may have to be talked about behind our back or lose friends or whatever it may be, this is what your small group is for. We have, the Wake staff has this idea of a small group, and it is that y'all would come to a place to be equipped for the work of the ministry, be equipped, encouraged, built up, so that you can go to your schools and encourage others and share the love of Christ with others. And hear this. I didn't tell y'all one thing about myself when I introduced myself, and that is I've been in your shoes. I grew up in this area. I went to TCA, a private school in this area, and I was even in a small group when I was in high school. And hear me say this, please. I walked in your shoes, and I didn't follow Christ, and I didn't take it seriously. I wasn't faithful to God until the middle of high school. And if I could go back, I desperately, desperately wish that I would have done it when I was y'all's age. There's abundant life in Christ. And my life changed radically in the middle of high school, but it could have changed in middle school. It could have changed when I was in your age. And with that, I want to vision cast this idea that the WAKE team has. And one, I kind of touched on it a little bit, which is your small group. If your small group, imagine what it could be in your school if you got together every week, encouraged each other, built each other up, gave each other scripture to memorize, to use, to equip each other, and then went out into your schools, evangelized to your friends who weren't Christians. Think of how your schools could change. And I know that it changed my school. I know it's possible. And we have this deep desire for y'all to change your schools. And the second thing is, while I'm talking about being faithful to God, while I'm talking about the innkeeper and Joseph, how the innkeeper missed his opportunity, but Joseph took his opportunity, we all, one, have an opportunity for the rest of the year, for the rest of our lives, but even this week. Because in a few days, we have a thing called Christmas. And I know if your family's any like mine, then they will become stressed and maybe take their eyes off what's most important. And this is a big opportunity for us to serve our parents, to serve our families, and remind our families of what's important and why we're celebrating. Because the reality is, in this season, we can become distracted of what Christmas is. We can become distracted and think it's about presents, think it's about getting together with family, think it's about anything. But the reality is, we know, because Cooper highlighted it 2 weeks ago, and because we are here, that this season is celebrated because Jesus Christ, who we can put our faith in and have eternal life through, has come down. God sent his Son to live a perfect life, die on the cross, so that Romans 10, 9 through 10 can be true. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So our job and our way to be faithful to God will be to remind our family of that truth. And so in a second, we're going to leave this room. But please remember that when we leave this room, we have an opportunity to be faithful, serve our family, spread the good news of God. So I'm going to pray, and then we will get out of here. Lord, thank you so much for blessing us with an opportunity to come here and be around friends, to hear about your word, to love you, to worship you, and to learn more about you. We know that this season can be filled with distractions, with things that try to come and take our eyes off of you, but we know what you did through your Son. So, Lord, we pray that we can keep that in the front of our minds and have that drive us towards being faithful to you. In your precious name, amen.